Here's a little fun fact that will make you feel good about yourself. The USDA recommends that adults over the age of 18 consume somewhere between 1,600 and 3,000 calories a day. On Thanksgiving Day, the average American eats 3,000 calories in one single meal. And if you add in the rest of the day's munching and gorging, the number climbs to over 4,500 calories. An average-sized person would have to run for 4 hours, swim for 5 hours, or walk 30 miles to burn off that 3,000-calorie meal. Happy Thanksgiving! Needless to say, we certainly do not need more on the Thanksgiving table, but there should be an abundance of thankfulness in our hearts. You're listening to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm your host, Stan Paris, and I'm grateful to have you tuning in here at Pivotal Decisions. We believe that the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow. If you find the podcast valuable, enjoyable, interesting, please share it with your friends and family and let them know about Pivotal Decisions. And one big way you can support Pivotal Decisions, if you'll subscribe to the YouTube channel. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Pivotal Decisions Podcast. It's going to pop right up for you. You hit that subscribe button and you're good to go. Hit that subscribe button and you'll have access to all of the great content of the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. We're talking about Thanksgiving today. On the calendar, we have a day set aside to give thanks. Charles Dickens once suggested that instead of one day for Thanksgiving, we should have 364 days of Thanksgiving and use the one day for griping and complaining. Somebody said that grumbling will be the forever accent of hell and gratitude the forever accent of heaven. Thanksgiving is kind of an odd day. I do believe a lot of people are thankful, but we celebrate in odd ways. Thanksgiving is usually filled with food. I mean, lots of food, football, and family. It's an interesting day. In fact, I read this article from House Beautiful, titled 25 Fun Thanksgiving Facts You'll Want to Tell Everyone You Know. Knowing these facts will make you look smarter than you are this Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not going to give you all 25 on this episode of Pivotal Decisions. You would not listen to that. But let me share a few interesting facts about Thanksgiving, and I think you will like this. I think it will make you sound smarter this Thanksgiving. Here's one, like Thanksgiving was originally celebrated in mid-October. The first Thanksgiving celebration wasn't in November at all. In fact, some historians suggest it was held in mid-October, similar to the present-day Canadian Thanksgiving. It was President Lincoln who set the November date in order to coincide with the Pilgrims' landing on Plymouth Rock. Pumpkin pie isn't actually Thanksgiving's favorite pie. The dessert has been an important part of Thanksgiving meals since the 1700s. However, the American Pie Council, did you know there is an American Pie Council? What do you have to do? What credentials are needed to be on the American Pie Council? But the American Pie Council is putting an end to the pumpkin versus apple pie debate. According to its research, apple pies are America's favorite, with pumpkin coming in second place. What's your favorite pie? Is it apple or is it pumpkin? I'll go with apple pie with ice cream. The first Thanksgiving was actually a three-day festival. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 as a harvest festival. It included 50 pilgrims, 90 Wampanoag Indians, and lasted 3 days. Here's a real fun fact for you. Historians believe that only 5 women were present. I mean, I don't know how they know that, and I don't know what the point of that is, and I don't know why. But only 5 women were present at the first Thanksgiving. The tradition of football on Thanksgiving was started by college teams. The tradition of football on Thanksgiving began in 1876 with a game between Yale and Princeton. The first NFL games were played on Thanksgiving in 1920. Historians have no record of turkey being eaten at the first Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving Day feast happened in 1621 with 3 whole days dedicated to the celebration. And although turkey was plentiful in the region and a common food source, it's likely that it wasn't actually the star of the festivities. Instead, ducks, geese, and swans are believed to have been served to the English settlers and Native Americans. Sarah Josepha Hill is known as the mother of Thanksgiving. She was a 19th century writer, an editor who was nicknamed the mother of Thanksgiving. The name seemed fitting after she wrote a letter to President Abraham Lincoln in 1863, calling for the Declaration of Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Her hope was that the holiday would help the nation heal from the trauma of the Civil War. Sarah Josepha Hill is also famous for another reason. She's the writer of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving Day song. Who knew? Before becoming a Christmas holiday anthem, Jingle Bells was an 1857 song titled One Horse Open Sleigh. And its composer, James Pierpont, intended it to be a Thanksgiving Day song. But it became so popular around December 25th that in 1859, the title was changed to Jingle Bells, and now it's a Christmas song. Each year, about 46 million turkeys are cooked. Thanksgiving Day and turkey go hand in hand, so this number shouldn't be too much of a surprise for us. Although not all Americans celebrate the holiday or eat turkey, there are still millions of families gathering around the table to partake in one of the most special meals of the year. And for those who aren't satisfied with only one day of this, Christmas is also a popular occasion to cook another turkey. Eating turkey doesn't actually make you tired. On Thanksgiving Day, you probably expect to be tired after eating turkey, thanks to claims made by a particular amino acid in the turkey. But the holiday bird isn't actually to blame. The reason you can't imagine doing anything else but watching football on the couch is because you overate. After you had a big meal, your body goes into basically shutdown mode and sleep gets promoted. Dr. Daniel Barone explained to Business Insider, there's actually a name for this. You're fatigued because your body is trying to digest the 4,500 calories that you eat on Thanksgiving Day. So this excuse you're using on Thanksgiving that, oh, the turkey has made me tired, is really just because you have overeaten. The majority of Americans secretly dislike classic Thanksgiving dishes, but eat them anyway. 68% of Americans dislike Thanksgiving dishes like cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and even turkey. I can give or take the turkey. It's okay. I don't crave turkey. 2,000 adults were asked on this online poll by the Harris poll, and they say they still eat this food just in honor of tradition. However, things are changing. 30% of Thanksgiving dinner hosts have served something other than turkey as their main course, which, do you know what is second? the second most popular meal, main course, is pork. Many people enjoy Thanksgiving leftovers more than the meal itself. I agree with that. A good turkey after Thanksgiving Day is pretty good. The kitchen bustling with last-minute cooking, the dining table is set with the best china, and a football game is playing on TV. But according to a poll, the Harris poll, people enjoy the leftovers more than the actual meal. Thanksgiving leftovers led to the invention of iconic TV dinners. In 1953, an overzealous Swanson employee overestimated the number of frozen turkeys the company should order for Thanksgiving. And the company was left with 260 tons of extra turkey after the holiday. But rather than eat the loss, no pun intended, the salesman Jerry Thomas came up with the brilliant idea to create and sell individual turkey dinners complete with cornbread dressing, gravy, peas, and sweet potatoes on reheatable trays, just like airline meals. Each pre-made feast cost a grand total of 98 cents. By the end of 1954, Swanson had sold 10 million frozen turkey deals, and the TV industry was born. Well, I know you're overwhelmed with all of these Thanksgiving facts, but as you laugh or maybe scoff, trust me, you will repeat these to your friends and family this Thanksgiving, so you're welcome. But let's think about Thanksgiving for a moment. Thankfulness is not an action, but a reaction. Thankfulness is a response to something else. Whenever thankfulness comes from, it is because something has first come to us. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know what David says here? Gratitude glorifies God. Giving thanks glorifies God. It honors the Lord, and it's good for us. God does not tell us to give thanks because he's insecure, and he needs some positive reinforcement. We are called to give thanks because it brings glory to God, and it's actually good for us. Recent studies in psychology have shown that people who live with gratitude are happier, less depressed, less stressed, and more satisfied with life, regardless of their level of wealth, talent, or success. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A professor, James Denny of Scotland, 100 years ago, called these three commands the standing orders of the gospel. They are standing orders because they always apply to every Christian in every situation. The Greek makes this very clear because these imperatives are all in the present tense. You could translate it continually rejoice, continually pray, and continually give thanks. So let's wrap this up by focusing just a moment on continually giving thanks. We know that we should give thanks when things are going well. We shouldn't take our blessings for granted or think that we somehow deserve them. But if you only give thanks when you have money in the bank, when your marriage is great, when the deal goes through at work, when the doctor says you don't have cancer, when your kids are doing well, when the church is growing, your friends are glad to see you, if that's the only time you give thanks, what will you do when trouble comes? What will you do when your company downsizes, you're out of a job, when the stock market bottoms out and your retirement goes with it, when your marriage collapses, when the cancer returns, or when your kids disappoint you? Eugene Peterson nicely captures the meaning of verse 18 this way. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. I like that phrase, no matter what happens, because it describes life in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world where bad things happen. We make bad decisions, and suffer the consequences. Sorrow comes to all of us at some point in life. No one gets a free ride. But when we factor in God's grace, His sovereignty, and His promises, we have the solid footing to say, "Thank you, Lord," no matter the circumstances. I'm not saying this is easy, but it is necessary. When we continually give thanks, we are saying, "God knows better than me." Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Did you know that Butterball has had a turkey talk line for nearly 40 years? If you find yourself with a million questions about cooking your turkey and Google is too overwhelming, reach for the phone, because the Butterball turkey line is real and they are there to help you. Butterball experts answer more than 100,000 questions every November and December about how to cook your turkey. Well, thank you for joining me today. If you find this episode helpful, please share it with others. And don't forget to subscribe to the Pivotal Decisions podcast. And until next time, remember, the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow.